Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
On Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man. Coming up this hour, we'll try to make the cap make sense. I didn't know there were aprons and tears and all sorts of stuff. I mean, I had enough hard enough time with the bird exemption back in the day, but a lot of stuff. I do think, though, the Hawks, and we just heard from a bunch of our audience here on Dukes and Bell, is we're trying to maintain a roster below the luxury tax threshold. So we'll ask Keith Smith from Spotrac a little bit later this hour, what can we expect if that is going to be indeed the mission statement. This hour of the show brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. Carl was woozy from a procedure all guys over the age of 45 should have. He is convalescing back at home at Stately Dukes Manor. Do you get to have a cocktail?
I can have whatever now. They told me no restrictions, but for the last, 2 days or 3 days or whatever, right, it's been, I did. I couldn't do some of the things. But no, now I'm good, man. I literally came home, and my daughter's home from college, so she actually was with me, and, she brought me back, and we had a bagel to start.
I was going to say, what was the first solid food item that you would go to?
Because I'm starving, right? And I told Doc that. I was like, Doc, I'm hungry. And he started laughing. He goes, you can have whatever you want now. And so when we left, I had a bagel to start. And then I got home, and I was like, when you go to the grocery store and you're hungry and you buy stuff you don't need, I feared that. Like, I was going to come home and be like, and just start eating everything. But I had a bagel, and then another bagel, and then I had some leftovers, and then I started snacking because I was just like, I wanted to indulge myself. But no, man, my wife just asked. She's like, "What do you want for dinner?" Because I know you've been starving for the last 2 days. I have no idea. But whatever it is, I'm going to devour.
I was thinking like you might want to make the run to Popeyes, but then again, if it was going to be another 45-minute wait and you hadn't eaten in 36 hours. That might not be the best option for you. On that note, let's hit an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, man, the Blitz brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. So an article from the Falcons website over the weekend, and it's interesting. Grady Jarrett says he cannot wait to get working with the young guys, Carl, because we've talked about, having like an OG, like the team, let's be honest, team leader in Grady Jarrett with Rook Arororo, Brandon Dorlus, Zion Logue, a bunch of these dudes that we've added. Says he can't wait to start putting some hands on pads and go to work.
Yeah, the physicality of this thing, we have yet to see. They are all big. They are all agile and versatile. But I still need to see the physicality of what this is going to look like. Man, Grady wants to win. I mean, I had this discussion with Grady time and time again. At the end of the day, he's enjoying his time off. He's chilling. But when it comes time to work, he's going to be ready, and he wants to win. He understands. I hate to even say this, Mike. His time's running out. He's a 10-year guy now. He's a 10-year guy. Guys at that position, when you start talking about year 13, 15, it's rare, far, few in between. So Grady's at a point like, look, we got some young studs. We got to get them going, and I'm ready to help them.
His biggest contribution right now is in the meeting room. That's from his D-line coach, Jay Rogers. That, of course, was part of the Mindy camp. He says, I think when you're out on the field, we're trying to get everybody to play a certain standard, and you know what Grady brings. And he is a guy that has no problem with that mantle of being a mentor, but obviously getting out there and still want to kick some butt, as you said, Carl, with the, not I don't want to make it sound like his career is ticking down, but you're right. The time is a factor for getting this team back into playoffs. Grady is one of the best players in the league, and he hasn't been in the playoffs in 7 seasons.
That's what's crazy. And that tells you, too, again, how much of a team game the NFL is, right? Mm. We know the quarterback is such a big part of that. So for 2 of his last 3 years, that was a big question mark. And then you go back prior to that, the team was basically dismantled, and then you change coaches. Like, all of this stuff he's endured, and now it looks like, okay, things are looking up in the right direction. So I'm just ready to see what the physicality of the defense is going to look like.
Hey, man, we feel like we look at the Panthers and we look at our Falcons schedule. We go, well, there's two dubs. Easy, pleasy. Dave Canales did an interview with Peter Schrager, who you see on NFL on Good Morning Football. He says that they're going to run the football. And he says that sounds, I mean, it makes sense, right? Take some of the pressure off your young quarterback in his second year after a brutal rookie season. They signed guards Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis. They got Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard in the backfield. What do you think about them and the balanced attack they're going to try to put together up in Carolina?
Well, this is what I thought they were going to do last year, to be honest with you. I mean, you bring Bryce in. He's a smallish quarterback.
Drew Brees size.
Yes. Take the pressure off, man. You got to make sure that you're giving him the adequate time in these play-action rollouts and all this stuff you're trying to do. And I just felt like they basically said, drop back and do what you did at Alabama. You can't do that. So they weren't good enough. Alabama may have been better than them last year. You can't do that. So I just feel like, man, if they're not trying to run the football to take some pressure off of him, it's going to be another long season for Bryce.
And they also added Jonathan Brooks from Texas in the NFL draft.
And by the way, I love Bijan. Mm-hmm. This kid's electric too, Mike. He sat behind B for a couple of seasons. He is really good.
So again, Canales take pressure, as Carl said, off Bryce Young with a balanced running attack. All right, Brandon Ayuk. He might not feel the love, but he wants to stay in San Francisco. He told TMZ Sports he was they bushwhacked him at the LA International at LAX, Carl. And he says, hey, man, you ready to play with the 49ers? And, of course, he doesn't have a contract extension. For sure. For sure, Ayuk added intrigue with the contract and situation with the 49ers with his post member on TikTok, basically saying that they don't want him and he's not feeling the love.
It doesn't feel like they want him.
Well, they got to pick one or two. It's either Debo or him, unless they want to go the route of the Dolphins, and you've already given that money to McCaffrey.
Yeah, so final year of the rookie deal, the question for me is, what's Ayuk's value? Like, see, he might get more money from the 49ers if they valued him that way. I don't know, Mike. Maybe he feels like, and his agent feels like, look, by us coming out and saying they don't want him, we were able to kind of pick our spot and go wherever we want to go, but I'm still waiting to see what that's going to look like. Listen, camp is 3 weeks away. It's less than that now.
Right. Hey, man, it's not personal. It's business. And that's what Kayvon Thibodeau said, talking about Saquon Barkley leaving. Needless to say, it was upsetting for a lot of Giants fans when he going down the street, going down 95. He was on Rich Eisen's show. It's business at the end of the day. I never really took it hard. I reached out to him. This is a not-for-long league, so you've got to get paid when you can, and you can't miss out on your dollars. We've seen it before with past contracts and past players, so I'm happy he was able to get paid down in Philly, basically.
Yeah, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Who, by the way, now, all of a sudden, now they got some help with him. They picked up Brian Banks. All of a sudden, they look pretty good.
No.
Brian Burns.
Burns, yeah. They've been talking about that tandem maybe being the best in the league. It might be. I mean, I'm not ready to go there yet, but they've been saying, hey, we've been working out during the summer and, you know, this offseason and getting ready. I want to see what that looks like when the season rolls around.
Hey, man, here's a crazy story about a dude who unfortunately became kind of a punchline in the NFL. Talking about Jamarcus Russell. When the former LSU quarterback got taken, you know, first by the Raiders, remember Al Davis trying to validate that? Jamarcus Russell's a tremendous quarterback. He'll be the best quarterback in the league. Well, fired as a volunteer assistant coach at his alma mater called Williamson High School down in Mobile. He's facing a lawsuit, Carl, accusing him of taking a $74,000 check meant as a donation to the school. He was allegedly, this happened. He was relieved of his volunteer coaching duties at the high school during the fall of last year. Mobile County Public School officials telling the local TV station down there. Local business owner wrote the check for $74,000, saying Russell approached him about a donation to help the high school football team purchase weight room equipment. And he pocketed the check, allegedly.
He's a loser. This is a loser move. Jamarcus Russell, even though his career was a bust, still had over $30 million in earnings.
Mm.
What are you doing cashing in on a $55,000 check? You got those kind of problems?
Mm.
This was for your alma mater. High school is such a big, we know this, right. We're in Georgia. It's such a big deal. If somebody's willing to help a school and say, hey, we're going to help with the weight room or the gym or help the practice fields, you expect that money to go where it's supposed to go. Jamarcus Russell, this is the definition, to me, Mike, of a loser, because this is the kind of stuff where people entrust you. They say, hey, Jamarcus is working back with us. It's great. Oh, cool. He's going to help us. And then you do this. Man, I don't have anything to say except, you know what? I hope they do whatever they need to do as far as legally against him, because this is wrong. And then secondly, I think the school, as you said, been fired. He needs to be nowhere near these kids on campus.
Yeah, allegedly he took the check for $74,000, deposited in a credit union, and then promptly took $55,000 out. You know, man, remember the whole purple drank thing back in the day with him?
Yeah.
It was just like, man, and, you know, for most people out there, when you get that, you know, the money that he, you know, made, that's like winning the lottery. You know, and if you invest it properly, you and your grandkids are pretty much set, right?
Well, yeah. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. What are you doing, man?
That's embarrassing. Hey, man, some more NFL notes for you. It is our NFL Blitz here on Dukes and Bell. Cowboys camp is going to start. They do those first 2 weeks over in Southern California at Oxnard. Guess who's not going to be there? CeeDee Lamb. Dallas Morning News reporting he is not expected to report to camp. He has not come to agreement on a new deal. First practice for the Cowboys, about the same for the Falcons, is July 25th. Other wideouts around the league have inked some contracts, but he's still waiting on his. And before, you know, long, they got to do that Dak deal. And that Dak deal, I don't know, man, when you look at some of the other contracts that are going around, it could be $60 million.
Yeah, I'm still having a tough time wrapping my head around that. But we know these numbers are going up. Mike said it. We're going to talk to Keith Smith from Spotrac coming up. He will tell you. I mean, whether it's the NBA or the NFL, when these numbers continue to go up, these quarterbacks and these star players are going to continue to, you know, to get these kinds of deals. I'm just having a tough time thinking about Dak being the first $60 million guy. What is Patrick Mahomes worth, Mike?
Yeah, when he gets his new deal, his old deal tore up and the new one comes out, he's got it. I mean, look, a dollar more than whoever's the big money man. Joe Burrow, you think with all that money, Carl, he could afford a suit with a back on it. But anyway, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see what the Dak Prescott and again, or does Jerry just say, I've missed my I think there's just too much hubris with Jerry Jones and his son to admit they missed their window and say, let's just take it back down and find a quarterback in the draft. They'll never do that. Yeah. Just like he always, let's be honest, should have moved on from, you know, from Garrett and should have moved on from McCarthy. But yeah, he just for whatever reason, won't do it. One last NFL note. It's got a Georgia wrinkle to it. According to the quarterback, Justin Herbert, and everybody else who's coaching the Chargers, Ladd McConkey apparently picking up everything real easy out there in Los Angeles for the Chargers. The former dog wide receiver apparently has been money.
You like him?
We had kind of toyed with the idea that maybe if you are able to address defense, of course, we surprised everybody by going Penix. I don't think there'd be many Falcon fans, you know, who would have been upset if we'd picked up Ladd McConkey for what would be a Rams-type offense.
Yeah. By the way, he got a great deal for where he was picked. I know, you know, guys, don't look at these contracts. Ladd got more money than anybody expected for where he was picked. Mike, I love Ladd McConkey. I think he's going to be a problem in this league. I just do. I think he's going to be his quick twitch and all the stuff that he does to get open. And then, again, Mike, he ran 4.3. It's not like he's not running away from guys.
Right. And with Keenan Allen and Chi-Town Williams gone, there'll be plenty of footballs coming his way. Hey, man, there's your NFL Blitz right here on Dukes and Bell. We haven't talked a lot about the Hawks. You can continue to hit us up. Carl is put them up. See Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. A lot of guys, you know, just saying, what are we doing? You know, just removing Murray like we just removed Collins. Addition by subtraction, some Shedrick Carter. He goes, it's the same BS they sold us last time. Hawks fans want to see some action. They want to see some additions to this roster. And with all due respect, then what we got from New Orleans ain't exactly moving the meter, Carl.
That's the other problem. I got to read a couple of these tweets also when we come back in regards to the Hawks, Mike, because, you know, people are seeing the Mavs make these moves, and you want to make the comparison to Luka and Trey? You can't even now.
No.
And this has nothing to do with Trey. It has more to do with their ownership and management.
And it's a big offseason because we said earlier, what if Trey, if Trey looks around and says, where's the help?
Yep.
What are you doing here? Reece Oshay, yeah, he'll be a star in this league in 3 years. Will Trey still be here at that point? We'll talk some NBA cap with Keith Smith coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
NBA free agency about to get rolling here. You heard about some of the trades today. Paul George going to the Sixers. We talked about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope going to the Magic. Hartenstein signing with Oklahoma City. So the Knicks couldn't keep everybody, Carl, but obviously they've certainly added some pieces with Bridges coming over from Brooklyn to make some sense of the cap. NBA cap is really hard. I know, Carl, I don't know about you, man, but like literally my eyes, they roll over my head like a slot machine trying to make sense of this stuff. Now that they've added these new aprons and such. Keith Smith does it for Spotrac, NBA analyst. Keith, how you doing, man? Welcome to Dukes and Bell.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man. So the Hawks, is it just simply just from what you're looking from the outside in, it's just we're just trying to avoid the luxury tax, and that's basically what our roster is going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, there might be a couple more moves coming for them, but I think it's going to be get this DeJounte Murray trade finalized in whatever final form it takes. It hasn't been finalized yet because there were tax issues on the Pelican side if it had gotten done before the league year changed over. So we'll see what the final version of that looks like. But yeah, I think the Hawks are, they're moving in a direction of, all right, we're bringing in some new guys. We've got Zach Risoche, where we're going to try to build this thing back up and not be super expensive and be locked into a team, with long-term money that we don't necessarily want on the books.
Keith, the way this was kind of explained to me, and I want to get your opinion on this from some NBA folks, was you used to be able to, in simple terms, do whatever it took to get a deal done. For example, if a guy was making $25 million, you could trade two players for one guy and make the deal work. You can't do that anymore. You used to be able to take in less money than you were trading out. Can't do that anymore. Like, all the things that teams used to utilize to make these deals, whether it be trade exceptions or et cetera, the league has made it harder. My question is why, and do you think it's going to help the league?
Yeah, so to the first part, you can still do those things. It's just if you like combine two players to bring in one, you're going to get hard capped at the second apron, which is well above the luxury tax for most teams. You can always take back less money than you send out, but if you take back more than you send out, you get hard capped at that first tax apron. So again, but those are the more expensive teams. The reason the league did this and the Players Association agreed was the whole push-pull for the NBA over the last few years has been the Warriors, the Clippers, where the Nets were headed. Those teams are outspending everybody by a huge margin, and other teams can't keep up because they don't have as rich of ownership groups. They're not located in major cities like that, and it was just going to get impossible to keep up with those teams if they didn't curb their spending. So they put these restrictions on the really expensive teams, trying to knock that down and limit what they can do to collect a whole bunch of extra talent. And then on the backhand side, the teams that don't like to spend and like to sit, below the salary cap and, maybe go in with $30 million in space, now you have to spend that money before the season starts. So it was trying to push down on the really expensive teams while pulling up the other teams and try to create that balance across the league.
So with the Hawks, we've certainly had to do something to get down to apron one. Are we? Where are we? Do we even have an apron? Do we have a scarf? What do we have here in Atlanta?
Yeah, so right now they're looking at being under the luxury tax period. So the luxury tax line is about roughly $30 million over the salary cap. Okay. So you've got about $30 million in play between the salary cap and the luxury tax. And then you get into the first apron is about $6-7 million above that. And then that second apron, that's about $17 million or so above the luxury tax line. So they're trying to, for the Hawks, they don't want to pay the luxury tax because you shouldn't be paying the luxury tax if you're a play-in tournament team on kind of your top end. Right. And I think right now, looking at the roster, the way it's built, and what the Eastern Conference looks like, I think they're being realistic and saying, yeah, that's probably where we're at the moment. So let's not get too deep into this luxury tax business. So that's why they're clearing out some long-term salary and the like to rebalance things a little bit.
We're talking about the cap in the NBA. We're talking about the effects of it from Keith Smith with Spotrac here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I just saw where LeBron now may take a match deal, which will be 3 years, $160 million. He said he was willing to take less over the weekend, Keith, but the Lakers have not been able to attract, I guess, the potential free agents they wanted. Klay's going to the Mavs. How do you see their financial situation? And, are the Lakers going to be able to do anything outside of just basically giving LeBron the max deal?
Yeah, I think they're kind of stuck now. Their roster is also full. They maybe can have a trade or two in them, but it's going to be some of the things that we talked about. They'll be a little bit more restricted because what LeBron had said, by all reports putting it together, was I'll take less than my max, even maybe 16, 20 million less, but you got to get the right players. Now, whoever the right players were. That's, you know, only LeBron and the Lakers will know until he tells the story to somebody, and then it'll come out on who the right players were. But they apparently didn't get them. So if he's now saying, nope, I need my max, then they'll do that because they're going to give him whatever it takes. They'll fill out the roster. Actually, I was going to say fill it out. It's basically filled out. It'll be LeBron. It'll be Bronny. And then they'll kind of go forward from there. And then what the Lakers will be facing is a really expensive team that has some limitations on them on how they build out the rest of this roster.
We heard the owner of the Phoenix Suns say that Kevin Durant's not going anywhere. Now, again, I'm just going by some of the websites, including Spotrac, that I try to use as a reference. It sounds like they're really jammed up with the luxury tax in every apron. Is that accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Phoenix, so the kind of three teams right now that are the most expensive teams in the league are Boston, Phoenix, and Milwaukee. They are all well above the aprons. They will be there for a while. I apologize. Let me add the Minnesota Timberwolves to that as well. So those are the four teams that are going to be second apron teams. And the Suns are way up there because you have Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker, who are all making in the range of $50 million or more. And then you've got a couple other deals, but they are way, way over the second apron.
All right. As we talk about the moves that have been made thus far, what's the best move? Who wins at least here day one, early on, free agency? Is it the Klay Thompson move? Is it obviously Paul George going to the Sixers? Everybody's talking about that. Which one right now for you says, hey, that's the move that really stands out for me?
Yeah, I think it's that Paul George move to the that's kind of the throwback to old school free agency, right?
Right.
We have a bunch of cap space and we go dump it all into one superstar and
that's right.
Off we go. And that's, you know, that's a very easy one, I think, to understand. But what makes it good for me is not only is a really good player, but the fit, he fits perfectly in between Maxey and Embiid. They didn't have anybody kind of like that. Had they gone with another guard or another big, things could have got a little weird. But getting Paul George in there as a wing with size, that really helps. And then they followed it up with some good moves, too. Getting Andre Drummond to back up Joel Embiid is really good work. Kelly Oubre Jr. is going to stay there. He had a nice season for them. And then they got Eric Gordon on the minimum. I think it's been a really productive opening couple days for the 76ers. Yeah, there's a question of are George and Embiid going to be healthy in April, May, and June? Because if they're not, well, then this is all wasted money, and it's going to be a huge issue for them because they're not going to go anywhere. But we'll see where that goes. I'll also throw out kind of honorary mention. The Oklahoma City Thunder have done some really good work. I retained a couple important players in Isaiah Joe and Aaron Wiggins. And then they dumped a lot of money in Isaiah Hartenstein. But they were able to protect themselves on the back end with some non-guaranteed money and the like. So it's not going to, while there might be sticker shock, the deal's not quite as big as it looks on its face overall. But that's a really good addition for them. It kind of fills out one of their remaining few weaknesses that team had, which was a playable big with real size that would allow them to match some of the bigger teams.
Because they just drafted so well. Keith Smith's with us, guys. Spotrac NBA analyst. Hopefully making some sense for you and me and Carl about all this stuff. Keep it in the East because we got about, eight teams we have to leapfrog if we ever want to do something. What about the Heat? Can the Heat keep Jimmy Butler and still make it work? Will they be able to add pieces? And are the Bucks just kind of treading water right now because it seems like they've got some cap issues too?
Yeah, we saw the Bucks add DeLon Wright as a minimum signing because that's really all they can do is fill out their roster with minimum signings. Because when you're over that second apron, you can really only sign players to minimum contracts, re-sign your own free agents, and then sign your draft picks. Everything else is you can make trades, but they're highly restricted. It's going to be hard for you. So for the Bucks, they're going to be playing that kind of minimum roulette of, all right, we think this guy fits. He fills a need. Hopefully he'll be able to give us some minutes while on a minimum deal. For Miami, they're close to that same territory because they're kind of dancing around those aprons and in issues with that. But I think for the Heat, the bigger problem for them is this is an older roster that is extremely expensive. And it's going to be hard for them unless they decide they do want to move Jimmy Butler. It's all the same stuff as last year. If a really good player comes on the market, it's going to be, do you want Tyler Hero and a couple draft picks? And it's all the same conversations that we had for months and months about their pursuit of Damian Lillard.
It's going to be crazy to see how this all shakes out. There are only, four or five teams that are in that second apron right now. Is that right?
Yeah, you've got four that are definitely in there, Boston, Milwaukee, Minnesota, and Phoenix. And then you have a couple that are, you know, maybe getting a little close, but for right now, they're out of there. Surprisingly, the Warriors and Clippers, who have kind of lived in that territory, and they were the two teams most often cited for creating all these rules, they both dropped out of it because they you know, lost some big money this summer.
Hey, man, thanks for making sense of this, Keith. Just to review, basically the Hawks are just getting below that luxury tax apron. So, as they said in Hoosiers, Carl, our team's on the floor. You only have four guys out there, Coach. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate you, Keith.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it, man. You feel better or worse now, Carl?
Same. And you know, the way he was explaining that, you can still do these deals, but you're being penalized. Mike, you can take in more money than you're trading out, but you're being penalized because it takes you to these aprons, right? It takes you to these thresholds. Yeah, you can utilize trade exemptions, from previous years, but you can't send cash over to finish the deal like you used to be able to. It's just weird how they're trying to create this parity, but also penalizing you for doing the things that used to work in the NBA.
I know in the NFL, the Rams say blank those picks, but you know, it just seems like in the NBA, they want you like what Oklahoma City is. They built it organically through the draft, and now they're complementing it with the right free agent pieces, like the Hartenstein contract, which you explained. And then you've got, you know, folks like the Knicks who are their team's ready to go. They're all in. So they said, screw those picks. We'll go get, you know, Bridges, bring him in. And like, they're ready to rock. And then there's the Hawks, where we're kind of just twisted in the wind because we don't have those draft picks thanks to the DeJounte Murray trade. So we had to get some of that stuff back. And it just makes you feel like, you know, can I see light at the end of the tunnel? Seems like it's going to be a minute.
I hope it's not. But, Mike, it feels that way.
Right.
And one of our listeners just said, Dukes, why does it feel like we're not doing anything? Because we're not.
No, because we don't want to get in the luxury tax. And, you know, it's kind of self-explanatory. The owner doesn't feel we're ready to compete, so he's not willing to go into his own pocket. So there you have it, sports fans. Aren't you feeling good about the NBA season 24-25? Well, you feel good. Big O's got something ready for you. Coming up, it's Yeah Man, No Man with Chris, because Oren's back pressing the buttons. Chris is producing. Chris will dazzle us. I mean, dazzle us with Yeah Man, No Man next.
The game.
It is Dukes and Bell on a back-to-work Monday, although it is kind of funky with some folks getting the days off. Maybe some folks already hitting the beach. I know, as we said, Carl, earlier today, it wasn't that bad a commute driving to the city today with 4th of July and all that. This hour of the show brought to you by our buddies at Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We don't have clients, Carl. We have partners.
Partners.
And with that, it's time for some Chris and some Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
As Carl would say, here's Turtle.
Hello, gentlemen. I've been avoiding talking about this story for a couple of weeks now because it's explicit in nature, and there also wasn't any conclusion to it, so I've been waiting.
Is that about the Tua girl?
Actually, as a matter of fact, Mike Bell, I am.
I figured.
Because she has exploded, pun intended, on the internet and has taken it by storm. If you're unfamiliar, I can't really explain it to the full extent, but I can just say this. She went viral as anything has ever gone viral.
It was an interview on the street, right?
Yeah, it was a man on the street interview for TikTok in which she was asked a question about something that is sexual in nature. And her response was, Hawk Tua. And it spawned a meme of a generation, Mike Bell and Carl Dukes. This woman, every single time you logged on to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, there have been songs made out of remix compilations. But the one thing that this woman did not do at first was make herself public. Well, that has changed. This weekend, Haley Welch, 21 years old, appeared with Zach Bryan, country music superstar, on stage. She said her famous line during the middle of the concert. And then today, finally did a sit-down interview with Barstool Sports, in which she revealed the life-changing amounts of fame that have come her way and opportunities, including, of course, starting her own podcast. Mm-hmm. So my question to you guys is, yeah, man, no man, any interest? Or do you think this will be successful? The Hawk to a girl starting her own podcast.
Carl, I'll jump in because I want you to get the final word because you have a young daughter in college. I mean, it's both, you know, a sign of the times because it's explicit sexual content about dating, but she is attractive and she does have a sense of humor and she's charismatic to a degree that all these things are coming her way. I don't know if I mean, there's so many, like TV shows, there's 6,000 zillion podcasts. No, I would not necessarily be interested myself, but certainly people younger than me will be interested in that, Carl.
What else she got, Chris? I mean, don't get me wrong. The Hawk too was all like, what did she just say? And you've said it. The memes are out of this world. But what else is she going to bring me? I don't know anything about her that makes me want to go, you know what? Man, I got to tune in. This chick here. I mean, oh, my God. I get the viral sensation of the comment. But let's be honest, guys. You only get about one or two of those in your lifetime.
Right.
Like, if being viral was like an easy thing, then you could do it every day. The fact of the matter is, it was so uncommon and so, like, unexpected for her to respond to the dude that way on the street. Everybody was freaking out. I hope she has success. At the end of the day, like, if this is her 15 minutes, so be it. Chris, I had saw something where the reason why she hadn't come out, and maybe you know more about this, was she a teacher? I had heard that.
Was she aspiring to be a teacher?
So, no. So, in this exclusive interview she did with Barstool Sports Today, it turns out she wasn't a teacher, and she had dropped out of school. So all of this stuff had been completely fabricated. So,
right.
I think part of it is that people were just making things up about who she was, right. So much so to the point where she said, you know what, screw it. I might as well let the people, you know, actually know who I am.
She's talking candidly about sex. Maybe she'd be the new Dr. Ruth, Carl, but she's young and hot.
Yeah. No, now, listen, if she's going to be this generation's that, then okay, great. But I mean, like, after I originally saw it and I did everything just like everyone else, I laughed. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Right.
Not knowing it would take off the way it did. But for me to, like, say, hey, there's this connection or she's got an audience, she's got to capitalize on that. But the thing is, here's the deal, Mike, and we know this because we have a large audience. People tune in and out quickly, right? And so,
got to stick with it. Got to keep it captivating.
You got to capitalize. And like, I don't know what's her next thing that people are going to go, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. Like, what is that?
There have been a couple of examples where people have done things on the internet or on TV and it really helped launch their career.
Right.
The most famous one is probably Alex Cooper, who launched the Call Her Daddy podcast.
Oh, yeah,
which is
that.
Now one of the most popular podcasts in the entire world.
I remember that.
Second to only like Joe Rogan. And the other really famous one is the young girl that
But she's really funny though, isn't she?
Yeah, she has a great personality,
yes.
But that was part of what helped launch her career. It was her and her friend at the time, and now she does it by herself.
Okay.
The other one was the young girl that went on Dr. Phil, and she's now a really popular rapper. Catch Me Outside
girl, yeah.
Right. She has millions and millions of followers on Instagram, and she puts out her own music, and it's really successful and popular. So there is examples of this stuff working out. It's
Jihad Barbie, that's what her name is.
Right.
I hadn't heard that forever. Yeah, Catch Me Outside.
How about
Catch
that?
Me Outside.
So there are some examples. They're few and far between, but she has a shot, if she does it right, of making something out of it. Speaking of, as I transition into a similar story, Mike, you'll like this one. Yeah. Would you guys be interested in watching a stream of two incredibly attractive women play golf?
Paige Spurniak going to be a part of this?
Paige Spurniak and Haley Ray Ostrom are apparently trying to get a podcast together. Haley Ray is the less known of the two. She is a pro golfer.
Haley Ray Ostrom. I'm looking it up right now.
Personality and betting analyst for Bet Online, according to her Twitter, which has 115,000 followers.
Did she play?
Who cares?
Well, yeah.
Now, again, this is why I know. Again, you're asking the question, Chris. Would I watch? Would they make out after every hole? That's the question.
That I can't.
I'm being honest with you. Okay, you know what I mean. If there'd be heavy petting, I'm just saying. You know, what a great birdie. Let me kiss you. I'd watch that. I would pay I don't know, Carl, $8.99 perhaps to watch that.
I think I've seen that one before.
So here's the deal, though, Chris. For me, like, what's the deal? Are they dressing, you know?
Well, if you ever see Paige Spearnak,
skin tight, you know, and built for comfort.
Yeah,
built right.
How could I not see her? She's out every day.
I know.
But what I'm saying is, like, what are they truly playing golf, or is this just them being hot on the golf course?
Well, no, this is them playing a round of golf and it being filmed, and you watching for voyeuristic purposes, I suppose. Right?
Maybe they could put a camera in the cup too. By the way.
But just stop it.
What? Cover every ankle.
And every hole.
No, the Paige Spearnak, I don't know how good she ever was on when she played professionally, but I guess because you know how the algorithms work, Carl? If you're on Twitter for golf or you follow golf stuff, you cannot avoid and get a Paige Spearnak tweet or something related to her coming at you almost every day.
Yeah, I've heard it works the same way for other sites. No names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of unavoidable. But we'll see when they get together how well it does. All right, and to close out our theme today of weird podcasting situations you didn't know you wanted, Alice Cooper and Rocco Mediate are going to host a show on the SiriusXM Golf Channel.
Hey, Carl, you and I almost speak for Carl. I've met Alice Cooper at a golf tournament years ago, and he's one of the sweetest, nicest guys in the world. How old is he, though? He's going to be pushing like 80. How old is Alice Cooper at this stage?
Yeah, that's a good question. This says for more than 50 years, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Alice Cooper has been passionate about golf.
So, Alice is 78.
Yeah. I mean,
real name Vincent Damon Fernier, by the way, for those who know.
This is apparently the headline of the podcast. Quote, "We have no idea what we're going to talk about until we start talking. It's all going to be improv." So I guess listening to Alice Cooper and Rocco Mediate share some war stories from the music and golf world, it sounds like it could be interesting.
I mean, is that the worst?
No. And for those who don't know, Rocco Mediate lost to Tiger Woods. I mean, that's probably his most famous moment, but he was a great golfer.
At Torrey Pines, with Tiger was on one leg.
Correct. But I think, you know, he's an interesting dude. I've not talked to either one of those guys, but I've heard Rocco in various, you know, documentaries and whatnot, and people in golf say, hey, he's one of the nicest dudes. Why not, man? Listen, you know, as long as he doesn't have a debate moment, I think it'll be fine.
Yep. By the way, sidebar, Rocco was going to finance Tony's brother's restaurant in Naples, Carl. Mark.
Was he really?
Yeah. Then the 2008 thing fell and everything kind of, you know, dried up. I've seen him down there, and he's a certainly, you know, a gregarious personality, and people on tour have always enjoyed his company. So maybe it won't be the worst thing.
All right, I think out of the three, I'm going to give Haley Ray and Paige a shot. But all right, Pico, hit
my music. Wait, Turtle, what's the young lady's name, the first story we talked about? What's her real name?
Oh, the Hawk Tour girl's name? It is Haley Welch.
Okay.
She's 21.
In case I see it, I want to know.
You know, somebody offered her $600 to mail them a jar of spit.
Oh, that's just,
not right.
Yeah.
That's creepy. She does look cute wearing the Daisy Dukes in the boots when she was on stage with Zach Bryan. Give her that. Crowd certainly reacted to it. Enjoy, as Carl said, maximize those 15 minutes while you can. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. We get our weekly visit with a dude who knows something about Georgia. We'll also bounce around the SEC with Connor Riley. And we got plenty more, including more talk about the Hawks. Get more of your phone calls. Got some really passionate reaction in the 2 o'clock hour about, is this all there is? Is that it? Stick around, Dukes and Bell.
Game.
It is Dukes and Bell on a back-to-work Monday, although it is kind of funky with some folks getting the days off. Maybe some folks already hitting the beach. I know, as we said, Carl, earlier today, it wasn't that bad a commute driving to the city today with 4th of July and all that. This hour of the show brought to you by our buddies at Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We don't have clients, Carl. We have partners.
Partners.
And with that, it's time for some Chris and some Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The cab's here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
As Carl would say, here's Turtle.
Hello, gentlemen. I've been avoiding talking about this story for a couple of weeks now because it's explicit in nature, and there also wasn't any conclusion to it, so I've been waiting.
Is that about the Tua girl?
Actually, as a matter of fact, Mike Bell, I am.
I figured.
because she has exploded, pun intended, on the internet and has taken it by storm. If you're unfamiliar, I can't really explain it to the full extent, but I can just say this. She went viral as anything has ever gone viral.
It was an interview on the street, right?
Yeah, it was a man on the street interview for TikTok in which she was asked a question about something that is sexual in nature. And her response was, "Hawk Tua." And it spawned a meme of a generation, Mike Bell and Carl Dukes. This woman, every single time you logged on to Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, there have been songs made out of remix compilations. But the one thing that this woman did not do at first was make herself public. Well, that has changed. This weekend, Haley Welch, 21 years old, appeared with Zach Bryan, country music superstar, on stage. She said her famous line during the middle of the concert. And then today, finally did a sit-down interview with Barstool Sports, in which she revealed the life-changing amounts of fame that have come her way and opportunities, including, of course, starting her own podcast. Mm-hmm. So my question to you guys is, yeah, man, no man, any interest? Or do you think this will be successful? The Hawk Tua girl starting her own podcast.
Carl, I'll jump in because I want you to get the final word because you have a young daughter in college. I mean, it's both, you know, a sign of the times because it's explicit sexual content about dating. But she is attractive and she does have a sense of humor and she's charismatic to a degree that all these things are coming her way. I don't know if I mean, there's so many, like, TV shows, there's 6,000 zillion podcasts. No, I would not necessarily be interested myself, but certainly people younger than me will be interested in that, Carl.
What else she got, Chris? I mean, don't get me wrong. The Hawk Tua was all like, what did she just say? And you've said it. The memes are out of this world. But what else is she going to bring me? I don't know anything about her that makes me want to go, you know what? Man, I got to tune in. This chick here. I mean, oh, my God. I get the viral sensation of the comment. But let's be honest, guys. You only get about one or two of those in your lifetime.
Right.
Like, if being viral was like an easy thing, then you could do it every day. The fact of the matter is, it was so uncommon and so, like, unexpected for her to respond to the dude that way on the street. Everybody was freaking out. I hope she has success. At the end of the day, like, if this is her 15 minutes, so be it. Chris, I had saw something where the reason why she hadn't come out, and maybe you know more about this, was she a teacher? Was that? I had heard that.
Was she aspiring to be a teacher?
So, no. So, in this exclusive interview she did with Barstool Sports today, it turns out she wasn't a teacher, and she had dropped out of school. So all of this stuff had been completely fabricated. So,
right.
I think part of it is that people were just making things up about who she was, right. So much so to the point where she said, you know what, screw it. I might as well let the people, you know, actually know who I am.
She's talking candidly about sex. Maybe she'd be the new Dr. Ruth, Carl, but she's young and hot.
Yeah. No, now, listen, if she's going to be this generation's that, then okay, great. But I mean, like, after I originally saw it and I did everything just like everyone else, I laughed. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Right.
Not knowing it would take off the way it did. But for me to, like, say, hey, there's this connection or she's got an audience, she's got to capitalize on that. But the thing is, here's the deal, Mike, and we know this because we have a large audience. People tune in and out quickly, right? And so,
you gotta stick with it, gotta keep it captivating.
You gotta capitalize. And, like, I don't know what's her next thing that people are gonna go, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. Like, what is that?
There have been a couple of examples where people have done things on the internet or on TV and it really helped launch their career.
Right.
The most famous one is probably Alex Cooper, who launched the Call Her Daddy podcast.
Oh, yeah,
which
remember
is
that.
Now one of the most popular podcasts in the entire world.
I remember that.
Second to only, like, Joe Rogan. And the other really famous one is the young girl that
But she's really funny, though, isn't she?
Yeah, she has a great personality,
yes.
But that
okay.
was part of what helped launch her career. It was her and her friend at the time, and now she does it by herself.
Okay.
The other one was the young girl that went on Dr. Phil, and she's now a really popular rapper. Catch me outside
girl, yeah.
Right. She has millions and millions of followers on Instagram, and she puts out her own music, and it's really successful and popular. So there is examples of this stuff working out. It's
Jihad Barbie, that's what her name is.
Right.
I hadn't heard that forever. Yeah, catch me outside.
How about
catch
that? So there are some examples. They're few and far between, but she has a shot, if she does it right, of making something out of it. Speaking of, as I transition into a similar story, Mike, you'll like this one. Yeah. Would you guys be interested in watching a stream of two incredibly attractive women play golf?
Paige Spurniak going to be a part of this?
Paige Spurniak and Haley Ray Ostrom are apparently trying to get a podcast together. Haley Ray is the less known of the two. She is a pro golfer.
Haley Ray Ostrom. I'm looking it up right now.
Media personality and betting analyst for Bet Online, according to her Twitter, which has 115,000 followers.
Did she play?
Who cares? Well, yeah. Now, again, this is why I know, you're asking the question, Chris. Would I watch? Would they make out after every hole? That's the question.
That I can't.
I'm being honest with you, okay? You know what I mean? If there'd be heavy petting, I'm just saying. You know, birdie. Let me kiss you. I'd watch that. I would pay, I don't know, Carl, $8.99 perhaps to watch that.
I think I've seen that one before.
So here's the deal, though, Chris. For me, like, what's the deal? Are they dressing, you know?
Well, if you ever see Paige Spurniak,
skin tight, you know, and built for comfort.
Yeah,
built right.
How could I not see her? She's out every day.
I know.
But what I'm saying is, like, what are they truly playing golf, or is this just them being hot on the golf course?
Well, no, this is them playing a round of golf and it being filmed, and you watching for voyeuristic purposes, I suppose. Right?
Maybe they could put a camera in the cup too. By the way.
Would you stop it?
What? Cover every ankle.
And every hole.
No, the Paige Spurniak, I don't know how good she ever was on when she played professionally, but I guess because you know how the algorithms work, Carl? If you're on Twitter for golf or you follow golf stuff, you cannot avoid and get a Paige Spurniak tweet or something related to her coming at you almost every day.
Yeah, I've heard it works the same way for other sites. No names.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of unavoidable, but we'll see when they get together how well it does. All right, and to close out our theme today of weird podcasting situations you didn't know you wanted, Alice Cooper and Rocco Mediate are going to host a show on the SiriusXM Golf Channel.
Hey, Carl, you and I almost speak for Carl. I've met Alice Cooper at a golf tournament years ago, and he's one of the sweetest, nicest guys in the world. How old is he, though? He's going to be pushing like 80. How old is Alice Cooper at this stage?
Yeah, that's a good question. This says for more than 50 years, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Alice Cooper has been passionate about golf.
So, Alice is 78.
Yeah. I mean,
real name Vincent Damon Fernier, by the way, for those who know.
This is apparently the headline of the podcast. Quote, we have no idea what we're going to talk about until we start talking. It's all going to be improv. So I guess listening to Alice Cooper and Rocco Mediate share some war stories from the music and golf world, it sounds like it could be interesting.
I mean, is that the worst?
No. And for those who don't know, Rocco Mediate lost to Tiger Woods. I mean, that's probably his most famous moment, but he was a great golfer.
At Torrey Pines, when Tiger was on one leg.
Correct. But I think, you know, he's an interesting dude. I've not talked to either one of those guys, but I've heard Rocco in various, you know, documentaries and whatnot, and people in golf say, hey, he's one of the nicest dudes. Why not, man? Listen, you know, as long as he doesn't have a debate moment, I think it'll be fine.
Yep. By the way, sidebar, Rocco was going to finance Tony's brother's restaurant in Naples, Carl. Mark.
Okay, really?
Yeah. Then the 2008 thing fell and everything kind of, you know, dried up. I've seen him down there, and he's certainly, you know, a gregarious personality, and people on tour have always enjoyed his company. So maybe it won't be the worst thing.
All right. I think out of the three, I'm going to give Haley Ray and Paige a shot. But all right, Pico, hit my
music. Wait, Turtle, what's the young lady's name? The first story we talked about. What's her real name?
Oh, the Hawk to a Girl's name? It is Haley Welch.
Okay.
She's 21.
In case I see it, I want
to
know.
You know, somebody offered her $600 to mail them a jar of spit.
Oh,
that's just not right.
Yeah.
That's creepy. She does look cute wearing the Daisy Dukes in the boots when she was on stage with Zach Bryan. Give her that. Crowd certainly reacted to it. Enjoy, as Carl said, maximize those 15 minutes while you can. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. We get our weekly visit with a dude who knows something about Georgia. We'll also bounce around the SEC with Connor Riley. And we got plenty more, including more talk about the Hawks. Get more of your phone calls. Got some really passionate reaction in the 2 o'clock hour about, is this all there is? Is that it? Stick around, Dukes of Bell.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.